Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BVS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list, including who's going to be appearing on my show every week. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask each of you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. How far are you willing to go down the rabbit hole to see the truth for yourself? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And on tonight's show, What's Ailing America? Our answer will be genetically modified food. But first, I want to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. And very shortly, Janet Phelan will be doing a story on the corruption involved in taking my only child away from me because of what I do. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting their website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's a First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. And remember, I am also now on www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. I am so honored to have as my guest tonight, answering the question, what's ailing America? With Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods. With the author of a book by that name, Jeffrey M. Smith, I cannot strongly enough recommend that all of you order this book. It is so important. The issue of what's being done to the food is just as important as the fact that we're being inoculated with disease. And you can obtain this book by calling 888-717-7000 or going to www.seedsofdeception.com. Seeds of Deception is a prior book that was written by author Jeffrey Smith. He is an international best-selling author and a leading spokesperson on the health dangers of genetically modified organisms, also known as GMOs. His globally respected research and magnetic communication style captured public attention in 2003. With his first book on the serious yet unknown side effects of genetically engineered food, Seeds of Deception, exposing industry and government lies about the safety of the genetically engineered foods you're eating. Seeds of Deception became the world's best-selling book on the health risks of GMOs and is credited with motivating changes in consumer buying habits to safer non-GMO foods. In his second book, Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods, Mr. Smith reveals insider documents about GMO safety trials that are sure to evoke strong emotions in the reader. Genetic Roulette shows how the world's most powerful agricultural biotech companies bluff and mislead critics, Congress, and the FDA about food safety research for the products Americans buy every day. So go to www.geneticroulette.com to read an excerpt. Mr. Smith is counseled world leaders from every continent, influenced the first state laws regulating GMOs, and has united leaders to support the campaign for healthier eating in America, a revolutionary industry and consumer movement to remove GMOs from the natural food industry. A popular keynote speaker, he has lectured in 25 countries and has been quoted by government leaders and hundreds of media outlets across the globe, including the New York Times, Washington Post, BBC World Service, Nature, The Independent, Daily Telegraph, The New Scientist, The Times of London, Associated Press, Reuters News Service, LA Times, Times Magazine, and Genetic Engineering News. He is the director of the Campaign for Healthier Eating in America from the Institute for Responsible Technology, where he is executive director. He is also the producer of the docu-video series, the GMO Trilogy, and writes an internationally syndicated monthly column, Spilling the Beans. The Institute for Responsible Technology at www.responsibletechnology.org serves as the premier meeting ground for the leaders of America's non-GMO community. Since its founding in 2003, it has sponsored groundbreaking research, fought for public policies that support GMO eradication, safety and testing, and created unparalleled resources so staff, boards, and consumers of every age can improve their health management. The Institute for Responsible Technology fulfills its mission by serving as the voice of non-GMO education to the media, trade organizations, government, business, consumers, and international bodies, convening opportunities for non-GMO leaders to work together on key issues, promoting policies that enable grassroots community members to engage with public officials on a nonpartisan basis, and by supporting the development and dissemination of strategies to strengthen non-GMO volunteering, voting, giving, and other forms of citizen engagement. And if you go to www.responsibletechnology.org, he also has an update list that he sends out to his subscribers where you can actually be contacted and learn about different things such as what companies are pledging to not use GMO foods and other very important information that can actually save your life. So I'd like to thank you so much, Mr. Smith, for being on the show tonight. This is such important information, and you are doing such a service to humanity. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, there's so much to talk about. This book is fantastic. One of the things I love about the book, Genetic Roulette, is that the way he's organized the book, because all of us are very busy, each chapter actually has the synopsis, i.e. the big picture, on the left-hand side of the page, and then you can actually look at the details on the right side if you're, you know, interested in any particular subjects, which you will be interested in everything in this book. It's unbelievable. I'm so disgusted, as I always am. But this is something, like I said, this is just as important as the vaccine issue. It's affecting everybody. And the proof that Mr. Smith gives in this book as to all the studies that have been done to prove that this food is bad for us, and yet they continue to allow it into the marketplace, especially in America. Folks, it's really time for you to get off the couch. All of us have to follow our spirit, whatever your spirit leads you to do. Not that all of you are going to become, activists to the degree that Mr. Smith and I are, but you have to care enough about yourself and especially about your children to at least tell other people about what's going on. Because once we reach critical mass and the people in this country realize to the extent that we're being betrayed by the alphabet agencies we're paying to protect us, change is going to happen. It's inevitable. So anyways, if you could start off, Mr. Smith, by telling us about your efforts to educate the public about the dangers of genetically modified foods with a campaign for healthier eating in America.
Sure. We are trying to stop the genetic engineering of our food supply by making it so unpopular with consumers that food companies refuse to use GM ingredients. So we are doing so by conveying the health risks, which include thousands of toxic and allergic reactions to humans, thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock, damage to virtually every organ and every system studied. We have huge numbers of offspring of rats that were fed GM soy dying. It's just, there's an enormous amount that we can discuss during this hour, but our campaign for healthier eating in America is conveying these health risks and giving people clear non-GMO choices. We'll be publishing a non-GMO shopping guide, distributing it through health food stores and in magazines and through healthcare practitioners' offices as patient education material, even through schools, parent groups, and religions. So we expect to hit the tipping point against genetically engineered foods before the end of 2009, forcing it quickly thereafter off of the market.
And that's so important what you're mentioning, because that's where the consumers can become involved by getting on your list and getting this information and taking it to the stores that you shop at and telling them, if you don't subscribe to a policy of not carrying genetically modified foods, I'm not going to, you know, shop at your store anymore. That's what's going to change things. Don't you agree?
Well, even if they just buy those particular things that are on the list, it'll force the food companies. We can go beyond the stores and go to the manufacturers themselves, because they'll realize if they're starting to lose market share in the stores where they're sold, if people are avoiding their brands because they contain soy, corn, cotton, or canola that's been genetically engineered, then they're going to make a switch, and start using non-genetically engineered varieties.
Exactly. And you've said there are two reasons that biotechnology companies create genetically modified seeds. Can you explain the science and motivation in a few sentences?
Sure. There's genetically modified herbicide-tolerant crops, those that are designed not to die when sprayed with herbicide, and those that produce their own pesticide. Those are the two main traits for genetically engineered crops.
And we were talking about this yesterday, and the horror of all of this was, you know, shown to me as you were discussing how the bacteria that all of us have in our gut, the friendly bacteria that are actually essential to life and proper digestion of food, when encountering these genetically modified foods, can actually incorporate the genes to create pesticides, for example, or also pharmaceutical drugs into themselves. And just picture, folks, a scenario where you have bacteria in your gut that are producing pesticides or pharmaceutical drugs round the clock. I mean, basically, that's what's going to happen if we don't stop this. Isn't that true?
Well, yes. Back in the early 1990s, the FDA was looking at approving the first genetically engineered crop, tomato, and it used an antibiotic-resistant marker gene. And they were concerned that the genes might transfer from the tomato into the bacteria inside our intestines, causing the bacteria to be antibiotic-resistant, which could lead to antibiotic-resistant diseases. And the FDA wrote, we know this because of documents now made public from a lawsuit, they wrote in all capital letters in a memo, it would be a serious health hazard to use this gene because it could create this problem. Well, the biotech industry insisted that gene transfer into human gut bacteria was not possible, and so they just put these foods on the market. Now, since then, there's been only one human feeding study ever conducted, and it showed that the genes do transfer from genetically engineered soybeans into the DNA of human gut bacteria and continue to function long after we stop eating genetically engineered soy. Now, what that means is not only can we be transferring antibiotic-resistant genes, but there's also these genes that produce their own pesticides, which, if it transferred, could transform our intestinal flora into living pesticide factories. And as you pointed out, there's also pharmaceutical crops that are grown, like crops designed to create vaccines for pig diarrhea and other things that are grown in corn, or human genes inserted into rice and growing in Kansas to produce other pharmaceuticals. If we ended up eating those and the genes transferred to our gut bacteria, we might be producing vaccines inside of our guts, possibly for the rest of our lives. And so this is one of the more serious concerns we have related to the long-term effects of just eating some genetically engineered foods.
The insanity of this, it's just beyond even comprehension. One thing that I wondered, like, is what made them even start doing this? I understand that they love to spray their crops with all kinds of pesticides, and I've had Steve Tweeden on the show again, and I'm going to have him on again in the future, the person who talks about pesticides and what you can do naturally. But I understand that they are trying to make the crops resistant to pesticides, even though the use of pesticides doesn't have to be to begin with. But how did they get this idea of doing all of these other things, putting, you know, genes from salmon into tomatoes so that they can make them grow in colder weather and all this insanity? How did this whole idea really get going in the first place?
Well, for millennium, farmers have been trying to improve the genetics of their seeds by crossing through natural sexual reproduction. So they'll take something that has resistance to disease and cross it with something that has high yield and hopes that they have a high yield disease resistant crop. Now, in the 70s, they learned that you can take genes from one species and pull them out of that DNA and force them into the DNA of other species. And it was a completely new technique, completely unnatural, never before tried, and they started doing it, and they realized, yeah, they could put genes into new species, which would create completely new proteins. And they thought they had a pretty good idea of how the DNA functioned. It turns out it was completely wrong. But nonetheless, they started mixing and matching genes between species and playing games with the structure of animals and crossing genes between the natural species barrier that have divided animals and humans and plants and bacteria. And so they put spider genes into goats in the hopes that they could milk the goat to get spiderweb protein to make bulletproof vests. They put jellyfish genes into pigs so that their noses glow in the dark. All sorts of weird combinations. And now Monsanto found a bacterium growing in a chemical waste dump by their factory, not dying in the presence of their herbicide Roundup. And so they figured, let's put it in the food supply. So they took the gene out of the bacterium, which allowed it to survive in the presence of an otherwise deadly chemical, and they put it into soybeans and corn and cotton and canola. So now they can spray that deadly chemical over the top of these fields, and the only surviving plant is the genetically engineered plant.
And actually, you could see where this is going because there's, of course, cross-pollination of crops, and farmers have been sued that are trying to grow organically, and their crops become adulterated with Monsanto seeds because of cross-pollination and such. And you could actually see where they could actually become the only people that have the seeds for crops to begin with. In other words, you're forced to go to Monsanto. We had discussed the list yesterday that they're creating Terminator seeds. They actually want to make plants where the plants, when planted, do not go to seed. And this is something that the farmers have depended on for all eternity, is to get seeds from their crops so that they can use them for the next year. So they're not only genetically modifying the seeds so that they can withstand all these toxic pesticides, but they're trying to create a situation where they're going to have complete control of the food supply. And this is a very scary situation.
Yes, when Arthur Andersen Consulting spoke at a biotech conference in 1999 in January, they described how they had worked with their client Monsanto. They had asked the Monsanto executives to describe a world in which, to describe their ideal future. And the executives described a world in which 100% of all commercial seeds in the world were patented and theirs. And Arthur Andersen Consulting worked backwards from that goal to create the strategy and tactics to achieve it. So worldwide domination of the food supply was an explicit goal for these companies. Now, as a seed company, if they're selling seeds that then get replanted year after year by the farmers who save seeds, they're not going to get much money because they sell it once and then the farmers just continue to save their own products year after year. So they devised a plan where if you buy genetically engineered crops, you sign a contract where you promise not to replant their seeds. And so they have gone on a rampage trying to sue farmers, some of whom actually did replant and some of whom who did not replant but just were contaminated by cross-pollination or seeds blown from nearby trucks. They have sued hundreds of farmers or settled out of court for close to $200 million. Now what they want to do is to engineer this Terminator technology into the seed themselves so that when the plant produces a new seed, it can be eaten, but it can't be replanted because it's sterile. So you'd have all sorts of sterile offspring, which would force farmers to go year after year back to the seed companies. And by the way, the biotechnology companies have bought up a large percentage of the seed companies around the world, and the largest seed company in the world is Monsanto, the largest biotech company in the world. So if they are able to arrange for the 1.4 billion farmers in the developing world who currently save seed, if they can get them to start buying seeds year after year from the biotechnology companies because they're selling them sterile seeds, then they are actually risking the future of life on Earth, because they'll be narrowing the amount of genetic diversity to just a few seed varieties that they'll sell in their catalogs, and eliminating the millions or billions of types of feeds that have been developed in each local farm proper for that particular geography and climate. So they're really very ambitious goals are really putting us at risk, not only as individuals who eat the food, but as a species, because they're risking our food supply.
And risking all species, because obviously all animals on the planet depend on the food to eat, and because of this cross-contamination system, I mean, this could just spread to contaminate the whole planet. It is such a scary scenario, and that these mad scientists even could believe that they know better than the Creator. They're going to fix things, you know. We all know where they're going with that, and the possibility of actually causing the extinction of the human race, it's so obvious that this is what's going on. And one of the most amazing things, I don't know if you have it handy, but if you do, if you could read that memo that was sent out about Monsanto itself, how they don't even serve their genetically modified foods in their own cafeterias and restaurants on the Monsanto property. That's pretty telling right there.
Yeah, back in the UK, in the headquarters of Monsanto, they have a canteen or a restaurant, and a person from Friends of the Earth quietly was sending around requests from heads of restaurants to find out what their policy was about GMOs. And he contacted the Monsanto headquarters and found out, and then what they said was that due to concerns raised by our customers, we have eliminated genetically modified soy and corn as much as possible, and will continue to do so for, you know, to meet our concerns of our customers. So the customers, of course, were the Monsanto employees in England. So they were concerned about eating their own genetically modified foods.
Isn't that amazing? And that tells you something right there, folks. Obviously, there are the ones doing the research that Mr. Smith is talking about, you know, testing these products on animals and only one human test. I mean, the idea that they're allowed to unleash this war on populations by doing one test, which, of course, did not go well in terms of what they're doing, it just goes to show how the fatal drugs allowed, the FDA agency, is not protecting us. And if you could share with the listeners the conflicts of interest going on, just like has happened with the drug companies and the whole aspartame story with Donald Rumsfeld. Isn't there all kinds of suspicious things happening in revolving doors involving Monsanto and the FDA itself?
Absolutely. The most egregious condition was back in 1992. The FDA created a policy on GMOs, genetically modified organisms, which stated that because the agency wasn't aware of any information showing that the foods were different, no safety testing was necessary. They didn't even have to be informed by companies that wanted to introduce genetically engineered foods into the market. Now, it was all based on this concept that they had looked and looked and not found any problems or any even difference, any significant difference. Now, that sentence was a lie. A complete lie, a total falsification, which we now know and are sure of, because 44,000 documents, the FDA's internal files on GMOs, were made public due to a lawsuit. And it turns out not only were they aware of differences, it was the overwhelming consensus of their own scientific faculty and only their own scientific staff. They had said that these foods could create allergies and toxins and new diseases and nutritional problems, and it urged superiors to require long-term studies, but they were ignored, and their warnings were even, the existence of these warnings were denied. Now, it turns out that the FDA had been instructed by the White House to promote the biotechnology industry, and so they created a new position, the person to be in charge of all of FDA policy, and gave it to Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney, and later Monsanto's vice president. Now, that's one area, that's one person, but there's been many. In fact, Michael Taylor was also in charge when the FDA approved Monsanto's genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. And Michael Taylor not only approved it, And he said that no one has to label their milk as from cows using this artificial hormone. And he even went so far as saying if a dairy wants to label their product as being free from RBGH, or it's also called RBST, that he recommended that they write a letter, write a sentence on the label which says that there's, according to the FDA, there's no difference between milk from cows treated with RBST. Now, it turns out that sentence was also a lie, that Monsanto and FDA scientists had identified many differences between milk from cows treated with RBGH versus not. For example, there's higher levels of IGF-1 in the milk from treated cows, which is clearly linked to cancer and high rates of fraternal twins. But right now, Monsanto is trying to instigate states to ban, to even ban the possibility for dairies to label their products as RBGH-free. And these states are now forcing these companies to use that same sentence that was written by Monsanto's former attorney to put it onto their label, forcing this lie to be continually propagated on the labels of our food.
It's really amazing. And, of course, even if it's labeled that there's genetically modified organisms in the food, they have so many different ways that they can play with the labeling. When the Redura sign first came out for irradiated foods, they were finding people were not wanting to buy their irradiated foods, so they just made the Redura smaller. And, of course, with MSG and aspartame, the two major excitotoxins in food, what they've done is create all kinds of other names for these substances that people have no clue what they're actually eating when they're eating these substances. In other words, that it is actually MSG and aspartame. So the lengths to which they will go to lie to the public is truly amazing, and people should start to realize that we are not being protected, and it's up to the people to protect themselves and to become enlightened as to what's really going on. And that's why, once again, I so strongly recommend to all of you to get a copy of this book, Genetic Roulette, by Jeffrey Smith, and to bring it to your doctors especially. You know, unfortunately, since there's only about 10 hours spent on nutrition in medical school versus 2 years of pharmacology, you know, the patients are going to have to start educating their doctors on these things and showing them. Go ahead.
I just gave a talk at a doctor's conference this weekend, and I do it regularly. And the doctors are many of them are not particularly informed about GMOs before I speak. And I typically ask a group to rate themselves from 1 to 100 how vigilant they've been in the last week at avoiding brands that contain genetically engineered ingredients. I did it last week, and I did it at different doctors' conferences. And then I describe over the next 30 to 60 minutes, I show, for example, how rats whose mothers were newborn rats whose mothers were fed GM soy died at over 50% compared to only about 10% when the mothers were eating non-GM soy. I show dramatic changes actually in the cells of the testicles and the liver and the pancreas, and I show how young sperm cells have been influenced, how it might create infertility or problems in the next generation, how embryos from GM-fed mice have been changed compared to those that were fed non-GM soy. I talk about, I show pictures of the potentially precancerous cell growth in the digestive tract of rats that were fed potatoes that were genetically engineered, or stomach lesion rats that were fed genetically engineered tomatoes, a whole list and description of problems that went wrong, as well as, in this particular case, Sunday, I was speaking to the Pan-American Allergy Society, and I explained how soy allergies in the UK skyrocketed by 50% when GM soy was introduced, and I described all the different ways that GM soy might cause an increase in allergies. And after all of that, I asked them, okay, rate yourself now how vigilant you'll be next week at avoiding bringing genetically engineered foods into your home. And there's all the huge switch when I ask for a show of hands of the different categories. Everyone has shifted and is much more vigilant about avoiding eating genetically engineered foods. And they want patient education materials, and we're going to have non-GMO shopping guides and other materials for them to pass out to their patients.
Well, that's a very good sign, because I would expect that just as most pediatricians don't vaccinate their own children, but yet they vaccinate everybody else's because that's how they're creating diseases, what I would have expected is for them to just make sure that they're not eating this stuff, but they continue to, you know, not ask their clients about it, because my profession is not in the business of healing anything. They just manage disease. But perhaps your information will be what starts to get them out of that mode, because when they realize the horror of this, not to mention the fact that this should be sending them a message that the FDA is not doing their job, and this does not only go for food that they're supposed to be in charge of, but obviously drugs as well. As we've had all these different disasters, Vioxx and Celebrex and silicone breast implants, which are actually now back on the market again, all of these things that they're supposed to protect the public and not allow onto the market, which they do. I would hope that the doctors would start to, you know, ask themselves, are these, especially the new drugs that come out on the market and the FDA's approved them, is that something they should be feeding their patients?
Well, we know that with drugs, there's a very expensive and long process of review by the FDA, which even after this, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and all those years, they still mislabel things, and they have to go back and either remove things off the market like they did in Vioxx, or put, you know, warnings that hadn't originally been obtained. With genetically engineered foods, there's no testing necessary by the FDA, not a single test. And it's
wow.
And usually if you have a new food additive, like a coloring, you have to do extensive testing. But that was the travesty of putting Monsanto's former attorney in charge of policy. He just excused all genetically modified foods. Now, this was after we had already had a disaster that the FDA knew completely about. There was a genetically engineered food supplement called L-tryptophan that was released in the 1980s. And for years, the contaminants that were almost certainly the result of the genetic engineering process were killing people, killing about 100 Americans in total, and about 5,000 to 10,000 fell sick, more than 1,000 were permanently disabled. And the FDA became aware of this, and they hid information from the public, they withheld information from Congress, that would have linked the genetic engineering of the tryptophan to the deadly epidemic, and instead they took all L-tryptophan off the market, claiming it was just the normally very safe amino acid. They claimed that that was the cause of the problem. But it was certainly the unique feature of just one of the brands that was causing the problem. Nothing else, just one brand that was causing the problem. That was the brand that was genetically engineered. Now, this provided us with a real lesson, and that is, people say all the time, well, I've been eating genetically engineered foods for a long time. People have been eating them in the United States for 10 years, and no one's gotten sick. Well, the thing is, no one is looking. There's no long-term studies. There's no human clinical trials. There's no monitoring. And if they are getting sick, how would it stand out if it was cancer or heart disease or obesity? The only reason they were able to find that L-tryptophan was linked to an epidemic was because the disease symptoms were rare, acute, and came on quickly, and if all three of those characteristics had not been in place, that same deadly L-tryptophan might still be on the market.
Exactly, and let's not forget the infertility that you were discussing. I mean, the infertility rates in this country are skyrocketing. There's so many young couples that are spending every dime of their savings to go and get all of these, you know, in vitro fertilization and all of these things. Vaccines are also involved in that, but I'm sure the doctors never asked them, do you eat genetically modified food? That would not even occur to them.
In fact, there's about 24 farmers that claim that their pigs or cows became sterile. We're talking thousands of livestock here as a result of genetically modified corn. There's other farmers that claim that their livestock died as a result. And there's even villagers who claim that they developed serious symptoms when breathing in the pollen from genetically modified corn. There's farm laborers that say they're getting allergic reactions to genetically engineered cotton. And when they allow sheep to graze on the cotton plants after harvest, about 10,000 sheep died in one region. One out of every four sheep died within a week. So there's a lot of evidence on the level of the farmer, on the level of the doctor, on the level of peer-reviewed published studies, and even animals, when given a choice. When given a choice, so many varieties of animals will not eat the pile of genetically engineered feed. And I'm talking pigs, cows, geese, elk, deer, raccoons, squirrels, mice, and rats have all showed a preference, and sometimes a complete avoidance of the genetically engineered feed or field when given a choice.
That's amazing. And you also have to wonder how many of these animals, as they're becoming sickly, you know, there was that recent scandal out about the animals that were barely able to stand and they were being electrically prodded and all kinds of other things in order to make them stand so that they would be qualified as suitable for human consumption. Who knows how many different things are going on just in terms of the food that they're eating that are causing conditions like that. And you just have to imagine how would that meat be affecting the people. So it's not even just eating the genetically modified organisms themselves in produce, but it's also eating animals that have eaten those products, correct?
Right, or the dairy products. They look inside the milk and they find the DNA of some of the soy or corn that the animals eat. You know, animals have been told, animals can get so many problems from genetic engineered crops that are not being investigated, and if we eat sick animals, it might affect us. So in order to avoid eating genetically engineered foods, the full class of GM foods includes not only products that contain soy, corn, cotton, or canola that's not organic or that doesn't say non-GMO, but also the animal products, which is the meat and the dairy products and eggs, from animals that have been fed GM. There's also honey from bees that have been pollinating the genetically engineered fields. And there's also the dairy products from cows that have been injected with bovine growth hormone. Aspartame is from genetically engineered microorganisms. And then there's other things that are much more difficult to avoid. I don't even try and convince people to avoid it because it's so difficult. And those are the enzymes and processing agents that aren't even listed on products that are used, like 80% of all the hard cheeses in the United States. Instead of using rennet from animals, they now use chymosin, which is a genetically engineered enzyme. So on our website at seedsofdeception.com or in responsibletechnology.org, we have sections to tell people how to avoid eating genetically engineered foods, links to a non-GMO shopping guide, links to a guide as to which dairy products do not use the RBGH, or artificial hormone, to make it as easy as possible for people to make healthier non-GMO choices.
Well, that's so important. And, of course, there's also all of the processed food products that have corn and other things in them that could be genetically modified, correct?
Absolutely. We have a list there of quite a number, from dextrose and maltodextrin and other things, and the soy lecithin, soy protein isolate, soybean oil, corn oil, cotton seed oil, canola oil, a lot of things that you'd recognize and other things that you wouldn't know are from corn or soybeans. So we have a list of those if you'd like to avoid those. Now, the more processed something is, then theoretically there's less risk. It doesn't mean you've eliminated the risk. You just probably reduced it. So, for example, if you eat a genetically engineered corn on the cob, or genetically engineered corn chip, then the DNA is still intact, and the gene might transfer to your gut bacteria. It might even transfer into your own DNA. But if you're eating high fructose corn syrup, there's no more DNA left in that product. It doesn't mean it's off scot-free. I mean, the process of genetic engineering the corn causes massive collateral damage in the DNA. You get hundreds or thousands of mutations inside the DNA. Hundreds or thousands of genes can change their levels of expression. You can have genes that are permanently deleted, turned off, turned on, or scrambled. And so you can end up with creating an allergen, carcinogen, toxin, or some problem that ends up surviving the processing, that ends up in the oil or the high fructose corn syrup or something like that. And they don't check. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. It is such a genetic roulette when they do a genetically engineered crop. There's so many things that can go wrong, but they check just a handful, and the way they do it is designed to avoid finding problems.
as with all their scientific, quote-unquote, experiments. And actually, that was a very important point that you brought up about the bees. It's a well-known fact that the bee population is diminishing from this earth, and they are so important for pollination of the plants. And I never even thought about the GMO aspect. Do you think that that could possibly have something to do with a bee die-off?
It can certainly be a contributor. But if the colony collapse disorder in the United States is the same disease as bees are experiencing in many other countries, then it's unlikely that GMOs are the prime cause, because the bee die-off is also occurring in some countries where there's very little genetically engineered crops planted. But it could be a contributing factor. We know, for example, when bees were pollinating this corn engineered to produce its own pesticide, that the bees ended up more susceptible to viral infection. We also know of at least one study where bees that were pollinating a different type of corn, an herbicide-tolerant corn, the genes transferred into the organisms inside the bee's digestive system. So that means that they took up residence and could continually be affecting the health of the bees. So we know that the health of the bees are in jeopardy with genetically engineered crops, at least to some extent, and so that might cause the immune system to be more susceptible to whatever this colony collapse disorder is.
Yes, I'm sure as with everything, it's always the big picture. And, of course, they're doing so many terrible things to our environment with all the pollutants being put out there and everything else, the chemtrails. I mean, it's amazing that anything is able to survive with what's going on out there. And I'm sure we have our listeners in a state of shock and awe, Mr. Smith. So let's give them the good news. What can they do to protect themselves? How can they change to a healthier non-GMO diet for their families without changing stores or without changing what they eat?
Well, there's several things that people can do. And in fact, one thing I recommend right away is to go on a website called don'tplantgmobeets.org. Don'tplantgmobeets.org. The beet industry, the sugar beet industry, is planning to plant genetically modified sugar beets starting next month. And that's because they haven't heard from companies who are their customers telling them we won't use genetically engineered sugar. Most of the sugar in the United States is a mixture between sugar beet sugar and cane sugar. So by the end of this year, the entire sugar supply in the United States will be genetically engineered unless we act now. So if you go to Don't Plant GMO Beets, you can send a letter. It will go simultaneously to 63 different companies asking them to please not use GM sugar. And that's set up by the Interfaith Center for Corporate Responsibility. Now, we also, on my website at responsibletechnology.org, that's our Institute for Responsible Technology, we have programs for you to be active in your communities. We have a GM-free school campaign, which is a completely turnkey program with a 60-page manual. You get your own website. There's a fantastic video that you can show and bring people an awareness about the health dangers of genetically engineered foods and why children are most at risk. And there's ways that we can work with you if you have a store that you sell food in, if you're a medical practitioner, if you're a religious leader, all sorts of ways that we can help you get the word out to your organizations and affiliates. Now, as far as avoiding it yourself, also check on how to avoid buying genetically engineered foods. Here's an example of something, how simple it might be. Once you get used to knowing which foods are GMO, and again, it's the four major ones are soy, corn, cotton, or canola. The three minor ones are Hawaiian papaya and a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash. So I was in a supermarket recently, and I picked up some Ragu Chunky tomato sauce just to see what the ingredients were. And sure enough, there was soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup. One was from soy and one was from corn. It didn't say non-GMO. It didn't say organic. And it was made in North America. So my conclusion was it was definitely genetically engineered soy and corn. So I put that back on the shelf and I picked up Ragu Light tomato sauce. And that had olive oil and no corn sweetener. and no other at-risk ingredients. So it had no other derivatives of soy, corn, cotton, or canola at all. So you could, even if you don't buy organic, even if you don't shop in a health food store, if you learn to read the ingredient panel and you know what to compare it to when we have lists on our site, then you can avoid genetically engineered ingredients. The easiest way is to reduce your amount of processed foods, because unfortunately, soy and corn are probably in 9 out of 10 processed foods and some to some extent.
Exactly. And I just want to also highlight that again, what Mr. Smith said about going to that website. It's so important, folks. I went to it and put my name on there. They need to have a huge amount of people telling them that we are not going to eat these products. And I just want to point that out. Again, that website, it's don'tplantgmobeets.org, and there's no apostrophe in don't. So you just type in, you know, the words don'tplantgmobeets.org and just sign up, and it will ask you how many companies that you want your message sent to. I suggest you send it to all 63 companies so they hear from you that you are not going to buy their products if they allow them to be contaminated. So
One thing that people need to know is that I realize that very few people can just, you know, hear a radio show and then start repeating all the details. I've been studying this for over a dozen years. And so what we do is we make it easy for people to convey information. We have the book Genetic Roulette, which is a easy-to-flip-through book on all the health risks. Very, very easy to get information. In an hour, you can skim the whole book because that's how it's designed.
Yeah.
We have a more of a storybook, Seeds of Deception, which describes how industry manipulation and political collusion and rigged research and faulty science got these foods on the market. We have a trilogy of two DVDs and a CD where you can just play it for people. The audio CD, in fact, is something that we encourage people to make copies of. You can even download it off of our websites or listen to it online. You can listen to the Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals online. We have a free...
Wait, which website can they hear those DVDs on?
Either seedsofdeception.com or responsibletechnology.org.
Okay, great.
And we have a free monthly syndicated column. We just put up yesterday a new health risks brochure, which will be soon available in a downloadable form. We're about to put up a brochure later this week about tips for how to avoid eating genetically engineered foods, fully formatted, which will also be downloadable. So we're continuing to put up more information to make it easy for people so that if you want to share the information with a friend, you can send them a link, send them a CD, have them download something onto their iPod. You can give them a CD. We're trying to make it as easy as possible to take the burden away from people to have to memorize all this information and rather just share the information we've already created.
That is so important, because to watch those DVDs, you just sit there in amazement as to all the information in there. And I really commend you on allowing people to, you know, make copies of those. That's my policy as well as of all my information, because it's going to require a critical mass of people to stop this. And, of course, all of us are being kept so busy, and there's so many things going on that are not appropriate or actually evil that, you know, it's hard to get involved in everything. But food is critical for everyone, folks. And I also recommend that you watch the movie Soylent Green. And that's an old movie from long ago. And if they're allowed to continue to do what they're doing to the food. And there's also, I just want to mention, very important information on a website, naturallyhealthydog.com, by Sandra Bailey, who's been a guest on the show again, where she actually talks about how they're allowed to use dead animals, roadkill, and render them and take the products that they're making from that and put that into our food in different process forms. And so that's already a Soylent Green situation that's happening. How long will it take before they're doing this to people? It's really very important, folks. We have to protect our food supply. You can't survive unless you have healthy organic food to eat. And isn't Monsanto even trying to make it illegal to put things on the label in terms of, you know, labeling things? How far are they going with this whole policy? Because obviously anybody that's got any, you know, IQ whatsoever would say, well, I don't want to eat this stuff if it was labeled on the food. What lengths are they going to prevent people from even knowing about this?
Well, the FDA, theoretically, according to the law, probably was legally bound to require labeling, but they kind of finagled around that by calling genetically engineered foods generally recognized as safe. And so they desperately did not want to label it because they are designed to promote genetically engineered foods. That's part of their mandate. They know that 9 out of 10 Americans want it labeled, but they also are aware that more than half say they wouldn't eat genetically engineered foods if it were labeled. And so to protect the economic interests of 5 agricultural biotechnology companies, they ignore the desires of 9 out of 10 Americans. And so they are against, and will let you know, if you try and label a product as GM-free, they'll come down on you. And if you say non-GMO, which is what people do, they sometimes will, you know, like, saber-rattle and try and pretend that it's illegal, but that hasn't actually stopped people from calling things non-GMO. Monsanto, however, when certain dairies were putting on their milk as free from RBGH, or bovine growth hormone, which is Monsanto's genetically modified drug for cows, Monsanto sued them, and they've sued 3 different dairies, and now they tried to get the FDA and the FTC to make it illegal for companies to put RBGH-free on their milk, and they said no. So now they went after some state legislators and some state agricultural departments, and so it was raised in Pennsylvania and Kansas and Utah and Ohio and Indiana and Missouri recently, since October. And there's been a huge fight going on, and it looks like Monsanto is not winning. It depends. Each state has its own ruling, but it appears that some of the states are requiring now for companies to put the sentence on the carton which says, according to the FDA, there's no difference between milk treated from RBGH or not. Because that's a lie. That's just totally a lie, because it's IGF-1 is example. There's higher pus levels in the milk. There's higher antibiotic levels. There's higher growth hormone levels. It's quite different, and it's certainly something that I would suggest people stay away from. So they're trying to manipulate it, but there's a big fight going on. Now, you also mentioned we need a tipping point, a critical mass, and that's already happening with RBGH. There's been so much concern about feeding people milk from cows that have been treated with these drugs that now 40 out of 100 of the top dairies have stopped using RBGH. And we are seeing the end of this drug happening before our eyes. And we expect to have a similar critical mass against genetically modified foods over the next 2 years.
And that's going to be largely due to your efforts. And I'm just so proud of what you've done. And this goes to show folks what one person can do. And each of us, if we care about our world, if we care about our children, if we want humanity to succeed, we have to get involved to some extent, at least to the extent of telling others about what's going on, what you've learned, suggest they listen to the archives, get the book, Genetic Roulette, and share it with others. And that's going to happen. It's a grassroots movement, and it's already happening. The vaccine information is also exploding. And so that's the good news. People are waking up. And we're almost out of time. If you could just close with telling our listeners, what are those 5 biotech companies that we have to watch out for? Because in my local newspaper here in North Carolina, they're always putting articles in there that certain biotech companies are coming to the area and that's going to bring jobs. And, you know, they try to make people think, oh, this is a wonderful thing. And, of course, it's not, because they're just going to be expanding their operations. So what are these 5 companies? Obviously, Monsanto is one.
There's Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, Syngenta, and Bayer Crop Science.
Okay, thank you so much. Actually, I just got the word. The show's over. It went so fast. It's unbelievable. So thank you so much, Mr. Smith. You are an excellent author, and your information is critical. Get the book, folks, Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith, and you can get that from seedsofdeception.com or responsibletechnology.org. So thank you again for everything you're doing, and keep up the great work.
You're welcome.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye, folks. Stay tuned next week.